Kicking It Off Cleveland. I'm your host, Zach Martin, giving you an emergency podcast today as the news has dropped that Corey Kluber has been dealt to the Texas Rangers. I know over the weekend we all were keeping a close eye on the Francisco Lindor news with either the Padres or the Dodgers, and then Corey Kluber came up with the Padres, Dodgers, Rangers, and a whole bunch of other teams, and today, with Ken Rosenthal and John Heyman talking about it all over Twitter, saying that the deal might happen today, and it unfortunately has happened today, as, like I said, Corey Kluber is no longer a Cleveland Indian. He is going to the Texas Rangers, where he is actually from. He actually grew up only about, I think, 30 to 60 miles from where the Rangers ballpark is going to be, so he is going back to the state of Texas. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate news. I mean, Corey Kluber's been with the Indians for basically his entire career. The Indians did get him in a trade from the San Diego Padres back in 2010. That included the Indians giving up Ryan Ludwig. And I have to say, the Indians did fleece the Padres because Ryan Ludwig did absolutely nothing with them. But we got Corey Kluber, who is, everyone knows, a two-time Cy Young winner and a three-time All-Star. So it is unfortunate to see him leave. Just to give an overall career numbers that Corey Kluber's had, like I said, all of them currently have been with the Indians. Over his time, 98 wins and 58 losses. He had a career 3.16 ERA, 17 complete games, 7 shutouts. He pitched over 1,341.2 thirds innings with the Indians, racking up over 1,461 strikeouts. And like I said, he is a two-time Cy Young winner, a three-time All-Star, and he has an ERA title. It's, like I said, guys, it's tough seeing Corey Kluber leaving. You think of cornerstones of a franchise, guys who've been around for a long time, and that's who Corey Kluber was. He's been around since almost the start of the decade, and he's been with the Indians ever since. You know, he did have some slow starts when he first came onto the Indians, but then he took off and became the Indians' ace for the last few years, you know, leading the way, and it's unfortunate to see. It really is, because you think of Corey Kluber. You think of the Indians, you think of Corey Kluber as the guy. He's been the guy for a long time, and it's just unfortunate to see. So it definitely took me some. I kind of knew something was going to come. I just wasn't expecting it to happen so soon as it did. And to the Rangers of all teams, too, I had a good indication. I thought it was going to be either the Padres or the Dodgers. So for the Rangers to come out of nowhere, that was a really big surprise. And for the guys that they got to, it's also good, but also not so great. But I will get to that at some point. But I want to talk about Corey Kluber a little bit more. And you have to think, Corey Kluber, like I said, has been an ace for the Indians. Over 1,000, you know, 1,300 innings pitched, 1,400 strikeouts. And how can you not think about the 2016 playoffs where he basically just carried that team? You know, just Trevor Bauer getting hurt in the playoffs, you know, with the drone incident. The bullpen was kind of shaky at some points. It was basically him. It was him and Andrew Miller just absolutely dominated the playoffs for the Indians. And he basically carried the Indians to the 2016 World Series appearance against the Cubs. To see him go, it's just, you kind of knew it was coming, but you were hoping that maybe the Indians would get at least one more year out of it. But with Kluber getting, you know, he's got 2 more years of a lot left on his contract. He's supposed to get 13.5 this year and 14 next year. 17.5 this year, 18 next year. It would kind of make sense why the Indians would want to move Kluber more than anyone else, because of the fact that whatever team's going to get him, they got 2 years of control and who's willing to take his contract. And for the Indians to trade Kluber and to have to not retain any of the contract at all or help pay for some of it, that is, well, for Indian standards, that's kind of huge for the fact now that they're clearing up about 17.5 to 18 million off the books for the next 2 years. So you would think that that might open up some possibilities for free agency, and I kind of do see that happening. I do think the Indians are going to make that possibly going to happen, where they might go out and get a second baseman or a third baseman or another position that could help the Indians go into the 2020 season now, because you've got more cap space. And I know a lot of people are going to be mad at the Dolans because they're cheap. They don't want to pay guys. You know, they want to make money. And, I mean, I don't blame fans for saying that. I mean, it has shown the case in the past. But Kluber hasn't really been himself the last couple of years. You know, last year he missed the whole season due to an injury. Year before that, he did have a good year, but it wasn't, you know, Kluber numbers like you usually see it. So it would make sense why they would try to move him, especially gain as much as they get back, you know, for trading him. So, like I said, it's unfortunate that he is gone, but I guess I do see why the Indians would make that move to clear up some cap space, you know, to get that contract off the books for the next couple of years, and possibly use it to bolster this roster, you know, get some more guys in, especially through free agency. So I guess I could see why that would happen. Now, coming back to the Indians, it was two players, Delano DeShields and Emmanuel Clase. Now, I saw a lot of indications saying that more might be coming in the deal, and I haven't seen anything in the last couple hours saying otherwise that more guys might be coming, because the Indians have posted on Twitter and all their socials that they got Emmanuel Clase and they got Delano DeShields, and from what I'm seeing, a lot of people on Twitter, you know, a bunch of analysts and guys from other podcast people and voices in the baseball community, Jared Carrabas of Barstool, John Heyman, you know, it's just a lot of guys, even Ken Rosenthal, you know, even guys inside the Indians on Stowe, Fox Sports Ohio even said to that this deal seems like you could have seen so much more out of this deal for Corey Kluber. The fact that, yeah, he is coming off an injury-filled season, he hasn't been himself the last couple of years, but you're still talking about Corey Kluber, who's an ace of a team, and to only have two guys coming back, it kind of feels like a lot of people are saying that I can see that you could almost consider this a fleece job, that the Indians got fleeced out of this deal. And I don't want to say that this deal is fully finalized, because I'm hoping that maybe in the next day or two that something does come out where there are more pieces to the puzzle, depending on physicals and everything else. But if this is all they got back, then I'm not really happy about this trade. But, I mean, I want to preface by saying I'm happy that they got Emmanuel Clase. This kid is going to be amazing for the bullpen, because the bullpen was the biggest need, was one of the biggest needs for this team. Delano DeShields, though, that was a move I'm not really happy about. That guy is a career 230, 240 hitter, only 100 RBIs, not a lot of home runs. I mean, he's got some home runs and some RBIs as a center fielder, but I wouldn't really expect a center fielder to come into this team, especially since we got Zimmer, Greg Allen, and Oscar Mercado. And I know some people would ask if the outfield was an issue, and yes, it is an issue, but it wasn't one of the biggest needs for the club, especially when you're looking at the infield and the bullpen. So to get Delano DeShields, I'm not really happy about that piece of the deal. You would think that you would get something more out of that for Kluber. Granted, like I said, he was injured, but Delano DeShields, though, I would think there was maybe other guys in the organization you would think that the Indians would have gotten besides him if they're looking for a positional player. So I don't know if they see something out of him, because the fact that he's got speed. I mean, if you want speed, you've got Lindor, you've got Jose, and you've got Greg Allen, and you've got Oscar Mercado. I mean, if you're looking for a speed factor, I really wouldn't say that Delano Del Shields brings a whole lot to the table other than that, and the fact you got a bunch of guys already who've got speed already. So that is kind of a question mark piece of the deal. The other piece of the deal was Emmanuel Clase, and this part, this guy I am super stoked about getting. He was one of the top guys in the Rangers organization. This kid had his MLB debut last year, and ooh, did he set the world on fire when he showed up. He did only play in 21 games. He does have a 2-3 record, but a 2.31 ERA and 21 strikeouts in 21 games. And for the fact that this is the key piece that everyone is loving about Emmanuel Clase. This kid has got just a nasty, fast, just rocket of a cut fastball. They've said that this thing is clocked between 99 and 101 miles per hour. Having him in the bullpen, which is basically, like I said, the bullpen was in some serious need of help, and getting him really factors in for the fact that with this free batter rule for relief pitchers now in the regular season, where now basically you can't have three relievers coming into an inning. You've got to have one guy at least face three pitchers. This is a massive move to get Emmanuel Clase for the fact that his cut fastball is that nasty and that explosive, and for the fact that he's only 21 years old. We got a 21-year-old hard-throwing reliever coming into the bullpen who's basically going to come into his second year, who's already got some nasty heat with that cut fastball. Like I said, 99 to 101, already 21 strikeouts in 21 games, and a 2.31 ERA. I know you can't get excited about Delano Del Shields, but you got to be excited for Emmanuel Clase. I am excited to see what this kid does coming out of the bullpen, especially when you got Adam Simber, Brad Hand, Whitgren. I mean, this kid is going to be explosive for the Indians out of the bullpen. So I am really, really excited to see him. So those are the two guys that the Indians got back in the Corey Kluber trade. Is Delano Del Shields and Emmanuel Clase. And unfortunately, to make some more roster moves, they have designated for assignment infielder Mike Freeman. I would not expect him to be one of the guys to get DFA'd for the fact that he is the second baseman that I have talked about, who basically gave Kipnis, you know, days off, or Lindor, or whoever else in the infield, because that's who Mike Freeman was, the super utility guy. But for the fact that Indians DFA'd him, that was surprising. I think they're going to try to figure out how to bring him back. I think it's just one of those things where you have to give 10 days to figure out what to do with him. And I think they're just doing that to figure out what they're going to do with the Shields, what they're going to do with Clase, and what they're going to do with moving to those pieces and how to figure that out, especially with Mike Freeman. So I don't expect Freeman to be completely gone from the Indians, but don't be surprised if he is going to be fully gone from the Indians. So the fact that they had to let him go to help get some more room for the 40-man roster, that did happen. Now what's next is what's on everyone's mind is Francisco Lindor next? And from what I've seen, Chris Antonetti and everyone else in the front office of the Cleveland Indians are saying they expect Frankie to be the starting shortstop for the Indians coming on opening day in 2020, so I would take that with a grain of salt if a team comes out and blows the Indians away with a deal, which after the Kluber trade, they better do a really great job of having this deal working out, because you figure that Kluber would bring some good guys back. To basically get one good guy back and one mediocre player, that leaves the case to be made. It basically leaves the jury's out on the Indians right now, and see what they're going to do with Lindor. So with that, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. But if a team does come to the Indians about getting Lindor, this deal better blow their socks off to trade him. But like I said, I don't see it happening. But don't be surprised if something does happen. But right now, all indicators point to that Francisco Lindor will be the starting shortstop for the Indians on opening day in 2020, but like I said, you never know what's going to happen. like I said, no one knew that the Rangers were going to come out and get Kluber. So who knows what they're going to do with, you know, Lindor. And speaking on top of, you know, Corey Kluber, and this is the one thing that Chris Rose, this is basically what he said about the rotation for the Indians. The Indians front office is fantastic. My guess, he didn't say fantastic, don't quote me, this is from Chris Rose. He said, my guess, development of Savali, Plesac, and Plutko mean they can get 70% of Klubot production for 1/20th of the price in 2019. 1/20th of the price. Easy math with the financial situation Cleveland is in, basically talking about payroll and just profit and what's coming on the books for the Indians. I mean, what Chris Rose says, it does make sense. Savali looked really good. Plesac looked really good, and Plutko's looked really good, depending on all their them coming up and all their starts. And you know, they're coming in to help out the rotation with guys being hurt for most of the season last year. So it does make sense why the Indians would make this move, especially with those three guys at the back end of the rotation, because you've got Clevinger, you got Bieber, and you got Carrasco. That's three right there. Now, if you add in Savali and Plesac, who basically played a lot last year, who did a really good job without Kluber. I mean, you have to admit, the Indians, they were 11.5 out at one point, came back to tie the Twins. You know, they did finish only a couple games on a wild card spot. And you're talking a rotation that did this with a bullpen that hasn't been really that great, and for the fact that Kluber has been out 3/4 of last year. So it does say a lot to the development of the pitching within the organization for the fact that with those guys, just those six guys alone in Clevinger, Bieber, Carrasco, Plesac, Savali, and Plutko, that they did what they did, got back into the AL Central fight, barely missed the playoffs by like a couple games on the wild card spot. It makes sense why the Indians would make that move and get just work with all the guys they have now on lesser contracts for, like I said, basically 1/20th of the price, and be able to have the production necessary to have a chance to win the AL Central. So it makes sense why, from a business sense and in a development sense for the Indians, why they would move Kluber. I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy. I mean, I'm not happy to see him leave. It stinks. He's a cornerstone player. But I also do see where the Indians are coming from. Like I said, for me, I'm trying to be unbiased, trying to see it from both sides, from fans and from the team perspective, and giving you just laying out the information for you guys to take in and see what you think. I know, like I said, fans are going to be mad. I agree with you. It sucks that he's gone, but I do see where also the Indians are coming from as well. So it's definitely something to think about with, you know, pitchers and catchers coming in less than a couple months from now, spring training all throughout March, and then the season. And it's going to be interesting to see what this rotation does without Corey Kluber. It's something to keep an eye on. I will, though, at some point in the offseason, have my predicted 25-man roster at some point this year, figure out who's going to make the team, who's going to do all this, and look at potential starting lineup, you know, batting orders, and rotation. So make sure I'll be on the lookout to give you guys a chance to see that in the coming months. But like I said, it's just an emergency podcast. Wanted to jump on real quick, get you guys just some information, things to think about in terms of how this trade went down with Corey Kluber to the Texas Rangers. So I will be doing an episode next week. I am still going to be on the road. I was hoping to be home, but just unfortunately, schedule got mixed around a little bit. I won't be home until January 4th, but I will be home for Christmas Day, and that's about it. So to keep, I didn't want to wait to give you guys an episode a month from now. So like I said, we will have this emergency podcast is dropping today, if you heard this on Sunday. And next Sunday or Monday, I will record another full episode for you guys. So be on the lookout for that next week. And until then, let's go Indians, and have a good night, everybody.
Beats by Esco.